Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. And Father, we, as we study through this short passage, we pray that you would minister to our hearts. And Lord, strengthen the speaker and strengthen the ears of the hearers to listen to what the Word of God would say to the church this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's kind of interesting. So every once in a while, you know what, I don't know how to start a message. And that does happen sometimes. And I just kind of leave it blank. And I think, well, you know, the Lord, you'll give me something to say at the very beginning. And so it was kind of interesting because we were driving in, and we did have a conversation in the car as we were coming in. And my wife was talking about, you know, the interesting stories of successful people. And she brought up Ralph Lauren. I don't think this is Ralph Lauren. No. I think this is Target. I'm not sure. But anyway, so she was telling me of how he grew up, you know, came from the Bronx, and this successful story of how he became a clothing designer. And it is interesting to watch, and I always appreciate stories of success. But at the same time, we talked about how, you know, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he, you know, if he gains the whole world and yet he loses his soul? And so, you know, earthly success in and of itself is so short-lived, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to do our very best. In fact, we're going to see that in the Word of God here. But I want you to keep this in mind, this whole idea of earthly success as we go through this passage. And I want to start off just by giving you the title of the message, Welcome to the Ministry. Welcome to the Ministry. So I want to answer three questions this morning. And the first question is, what is the ministry? The second question is, who is in the ministry, or who are the ministers? And the third question is, what are the qualifications to be in the ministry? Now, if I were to ask you, what are your thoughts about the ministry? Most people believe that the ministry is somewhat of a trained profession. You know, you go to seminary, you go to study the ministry, and it becomes your, I guess you might say, your occupation in life. But now, if that is your thoughts about the ministry, that's okay, but it's a very narrow view according to the Word of God. The ministry, what is it? Well, we're going to be discovering this morning that the ministry is not limited as people have often imagined. The first question, what is it? What is the ministry? Look down with me at verse 10. As each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another. And that should clue you in right there, you know, who's in the ministry. But the key verse, the key word here is the word minister. In the Greek, it's pronounced diakonoio, and it sounds complicated. It's so complicated that a tongue-tied pastor can't hardly say it. But I bring it out because the word does have a translation in the English, and it's a very simple word. It means to be a waiter. And I know that surprises you, or it means to be an attendant or a servant. And it even gets lower than that, because the word diakonaho, it comes from the Greek word diakonos, which is someone who runs errands. We might call him a gopher. Now, I was a gopher growing up for my father. Gopher this, gopher that. And some of you know what it's like. You were a gopher. And I was the gopher, but it's an errand runner. And so when you think about ministry or the minister, it's waiter, attendant, servant, or errand runner. And someone might ask, well, then how did the title reverend evolve from all of this? How is it that some of us came to be known as reverend? I can tell you, I'm just totally embarrassed. The times I've been, you know, introduced, you know, for prayer or something like that as the reverend. The reverend. This is the reverend. I don't know how it got to be so. I'm personally, you know, I'd rather be called the errand boy, but I just don't think that would make much of a, you know, a splash. You get up and we're going to have the errand boy come up and pray. And it doesn't sound very impressive, but, you know, you say, well, I'm going to Dallas Theological Seminary. Wow, you know, what are you studying? Well, I'm studying to be an errand boy. It doesn't come across very well, but that is the meaning of the word. That is the ministry. And I don't mean to make it sound so menial, but that's what it means to be a minister. And the Spirit of God could have used a different description, but that's the ministry. Jesus said to his disciples, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your minister. And that's errand boy. The ministry, by definition, may be menial, but listen, in the eyes of God, the ministry is absolutely, it's glorious. Jesus said, whoever would be great among you. He didn't say, let him go out and develop a successful brand line of clothes or a successful product or become an entrepreneur or become a millionaire or a billionaire. He said, let him be your minister. The second question, who are the ministers? Well, who are the ministers? They're the ones, you might say, well, they're the ones that stand up and give the sermon. They are the ones that are on staff at the church. Now, this is the common perception of who the minister is. He's the one who stands behind the pulpit and gives the message. But notice with me down in verse 10, as each one of you has received a gift. Notice with me that Peter doesn't point to a specific individual in the church. He's not pointing to himself and saying, I am the minister. He's not pointing to someone who might get up and teach and saying, well, that's the minister. He's saying, as each one of you has received a gift. Peter here is not talking about a package. He's not talking about something you get that's a tangible object. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Going back to the Greek origin, the word gift is charisma. Now, it means to be given a favor, specifically a divine favor or a favor from God, a divine endowment. Each one of you has been given a divine endowment or a divine favor. And here Peter is declaring that whoever has received this gift from God is a minister. Anyone who has received a gift of God, a gift from God, is a minister. Now that immediately broadens the field of who may be in the ministry. Whoever has received a gift from God. The confusion still remains. Who are these people who have received gifts? Who is Peter referring to? Whoever Peter is writing about, they are in the ministry. I believe the Apostle Paul can help us to understand who these gifted individuals are that are in the ministry. And you can hold your place here and just look at Romans chapter 12. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. I'll tell you, man, if you could get this verse down and you understand what it means, I don't believe there would ever be another church division. I don't believe there would ever be another church split. How many of you would ever try to detach your arm from your body and say, I don't need you. I don't even like you. And that's essentially what Paul is saying, is he's saying, listen, within the body of Christ, we are all a part of one body. It does not matter where you've come from. It does not matter your background, your nationality, your skin color, anything. It is we are all together a part of a single body in Christ. And I'll tell you, that is an amazing principle right there in and of itself. And it's at the heart of this whole idea of ministry. And what is Paul talking about? He's talking about the church, isn't he? He uses the human body here as the analogy, and we look at our body and we see, well, I have different parts to my body. Aren't you thankful that you have different parts to your body? Aren't you thankful that your body is not all fingers? I mean, imagine what you would look like if your body was all fingers. My hand, a vital part of my body, but you know, what would my hand be without the fingers? So the fingers are important. I need my fingers, but what would I do if I didn't have them? Well, I would try to pick something up, and I couldn't because I don't have fingers. And you realize this little part of the body, you wouldn't want it to be the whole body, but yet you couldn't live very well without those fingers. And so every part of the body has a special function. Even the smallest, most insignificant part of the body provides a special function. Now, I will take a little poll here. How many of you think your little finger is the least significant part of your body? Anybody? Okay, we got a few takers over here. The little finger. See, I can get by without my little finger. I have to have it. You know, it's so important. It's not important. Well, let me say, how many of you think your little toe is the most insignificant part of your body? Your little toe. Okay, I raise my hand on that one. My little toe, one of the reasons it is the most insignificant part of my body is because it's the part of my body I like to look at the least. I mean, it is absolutely, I'm not going to take my shoes off and show you my little toe, but it's one ugly thing. I mean, it's like, I look at my little toe, it looks bad. One of the reasons is, for some reason, it's this one little toe that's been broke multiple times, and I don't know why it's always the same toe. And it's stupid things. I broke my little toe trying to hop over our living room couch. That's how it happened. Nothing glorious about that. But I was a teenager and they called me Jay Hopper. There was a reason. I loved to jump. And I would just jump and I would run through the house and I would jump over the top of the couch and land on the other side and sit down. Well, one day I just miscalculated. My little toe got caught on the top of the couch. And I went head over heels, and that toe was broke. The other times, I can't remember what broke my toe. I think it was horses. But, you know, so I look at my little toe, and I think, you insignificant little toe. But I have discovered when your little toe is broken, it's hard to walk. And it's amazing how much function that little toe provides for the balance of your body. And in that sense, it is not insignificant at all. In fact, it's very important. Now, if I would have known how important it was, I would have worn steel-toed shoes for my whole life. The little toe. Paul continues, he said, your body is the body of Christ. Here Paul is talking about the church. The church is the body of Christ. So now there are people, you know, who may laugh at this idea. We don't, because we're, you know, we're in the church, someone who knows nothing about Christianity will laugh at the idea of the church being a spiritual body of Christ. They can't comprehend that. It's laughable to them. If you go up to an unbeliever and you say, well, I'm part of the body of Christ. You are. Man, what's wrong with you? And they just think that that is so ridiculous. They do not understand the idea of a spiritual body of believers. But the idea of a group of people being a part of a body, it's not unique to the church. It's everywhere around us. In fact, it's in our business culture. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the corporate body? A corporate body. A corporate body is defined as an organization or a group of persons that is identified by a particular name and that acts or may act as an entity. Now, doesn't that somewhat sound like the body of Christ? That's all Paul is saying. He's saying the church is a corporate body of Jesus Christ. We are identified by the name. The name Christian comes from Christ or Christ-like. And it is the name of Jesus, and we act as an entity or as a group or as a body of people who are identified by Jesus Christ. But in this passage, Paul is drawing the analogy between the physical body and all of its functions and the spiritual body of Christ, which is made up of every believer in the church. Now listen to what Paul writes next, because Paul defines those who have received a gift. Look with me at Romans 12:6. And in his grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. Different gifts for doing certain things well. Every part of the body has been given a gift. Every part, there is no exclusion. And you might say, well, I don't have any gifts. Maybe I'm not part of the body of Christ. I don't think I have a gift. According to the word of God, he has graciously given to all. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift, at least one gift, maybe many gifts. Maybe you are an arm. Maybe you are the leg. Maybe you feel insignificant because you think you're like the little toe. But you have a specific function in the body of Christ. And this does not just apply to the church setting. This applies as the body of Christ. Even when you're out during the week, you still have a function towards other believers within the body. You're in the ministry. And so I say to you this morning, welcome to the ministry. Now, Paul declares that each of you have a ministry of gifts, and it's great that each of us have a different gift. Imagine if my body, as I said, was nothing but just a bunch of arms. What could I get done with nothing but arms? But thank God I have two arms. I have two legs so that I can walk somewhere. I can get something done with my two arms, and I have two hands so that I can do something with my arms, and I have the 10 fingers, because without my fingers, my hands would be almost useless to me. So it is in the body of Christ. We are all in the ministry, and each of us has a unique function that God has gifted us to do well. Now, here's one of the problems. You say, I don't know what my gift is. And many people think, well, I'm not sure that I have a gift because I don't know what it is. You want to know what your gift is? Usually you can ask somebody around you. I think as parents, would you say that is true, those of you who have children, that you maybe recognized the gifts in your children before they knew those gifts themselves? You saw something special. You saw something particular about that child. They didn't recognize it themselves. I think my mother knew what any gift I had before I knew. And I'm sure she prayed, and she prayed that God would use those gifts. But many times we don't know, but those around you sometimes will recognize it right away, because when you're around them, there is something about them, there is something that comes out, and you recognize, you know, this is just their gift. There are some people that absolutely have the gift of hospitality. I can point out two of them right here, John and Carolyn Sears. I mean, you don't have to be around them very long, and they're going to invite you over. And, you know, you're going to have dinner, or you're going to get together, you know. And I could point out Marilyn Sylvester. You don't have to know her very long. And when there's a special occasion, you know, you'll get a card, a beautiful handmade card. And that's a gift. It's not just the gift of making and creating. It is the gift of giving. And I could point out Francois and Linda. You know, I mean, I could just keep going. I could point out another, you know, Victoria. You know, just a gift of a plant. You know, I mean, it's just those gifts of giving to others around you. That's a wonderful gift, the gift of hospitality. I could point to my daughter, Sarah. And I could say, even though Sarah may not recognize it at 14, but she has the gift of encouragement. I mean, she can be around other people that maybe, you know, people who are her own age or younger or even some older, and she will encourage them. That is a gift. And every one of you have some gift that God has given to you that he wants you to use. Now, someone might ask, well, if I'm in the ministry, why am I not the one behind the pulpit? I'm not sure you'd want to be. You know, I mean, unless God has called you to that ministry, you don't want to be there. You don't want to take on a gift that is not your gift. You don't want to take on something that God has not given for you to do. He's given you something specific. And so Paul addresses this question as he writes to the Ephesians. You can look with me, Ephesians chapter 4. And he said, and he himself, that's God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the what? The ministry. In other words, we're all in the ministry. Welcome to the ministry. But in that equipping process, there are some who have been set up and they've been gifted in order to help equip you for that ministry. And the Apostle Paul was called to be one who would equip. Others in the Bible were called to equip. Some were there just to simply do some other work in the ministry. Peter was an apostle. He was called by God to equip others and to do the work of the ministry. But again, we're all in the ministry together. It's all a part of the body of Christ. Number three, we've answered these two questions. What is the ministry and who is in the ministry? And the third question is, who qualifies? How many of you are qualified to be in the ministry? Eh? We are qualified, but let me tell you why. We are not qualified because of something that we have achieved personally. Go back to 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10. Let's see what it is that qualifies us. As each one of you has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Who is qualified in and of themselves? Well, none of us, because notice with me, it says the key word here is grace. It's the Greek word charis. Charis, it means favor. If you've been paying attention, you will say, well, that sounds like the word, you know, we talked about earlier, gift or charisma. Charis is grace. It's the Greek root of the word charisma or gift. And that tells us everything we need to know about who is qualified in the ministry. Outside of grace, outside of a gift, outside of a divine favor, none of us are qualified. No one single person in this congregation, not me, not you, are qualified in and of ourselves. And you say, but I've been to Bible school. That does not qualify you. I have a master's degree in theology. You are not qualified. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration. I had to think a little hard about this. How can I illustrate this? And it came to me that we had just recently had our carpets cleaned. We want nice, clean carpets. And when you live out on a ranch, they get very dirty. And I will not even describe what all they get dirty with. Think cows. They get dirty. But suppose when we called the carpet cleaner and we want our carpets spotless and clean, that the carpet cleaner, he knocks on the door and my wife opens the door and there stands the carpet cleaner. And guess what he's wearing? He's wearing cowboy boots and they got this crud all over them. Same thing that's already in the house. Same thing that already gets on the carpet that we want cleaned off. The same thing you step in if you step in the wrong place. And he stepped all over in the wrong place and he says, I'm here to clean your carpets. My name is Wild Eye Bill and I'm going to clean your carpets. And you look at that carpet cleaner and you say, well, Wild Eye, man, you're not qualified. Well, what's wrong with me? Well, look at those boots. They're a mess. They're filthy. They're dirty. You can't come in our house. You can't clean our carpets. And he looks down. And he says, well, I can never think nothing about that. You see, the problem was is that you want him to do a job. You want him to clean the carpets. But he himself is filthy and he's dirty. Now, the best favor you could give to him would be just give him a pair of clean shoes and say, come on in, Wild Eye. Now you're ready to clean the carpets. Because you are now wearing a nice pair of clean shoes. Well, you see, that is the way it is within the ministry. Every one of us, before we knew Jesus Christ, we were filthy, we were dirty, and the Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. There are none clean, no, not one. And none of us come into the body of Christ clean. And the Bible says it is the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses a man from all sin, and it cleans us and it washes over us. And then we get this divine favor. God gives us a gift. He gives us a gift. Wherever you find the word grace in the Bible, it is God doing you a favor. Wherever you find grace in the word is a word in the Bible, it's God doing something that you could never have done by yourself. And the ministry is the grace of God. You have no inherent qualification. So God does you a favor, a charis, and he gives you a gift, charisma. You have a gift, and you're not qualified, but God has done you a favor. He's given you a gift that you can minister that gift to the people around you, to the person next to you. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, this is new information to me. What do I do with it? I didn't know I'd been given a gift, or I don't know even what the gift is. But what do you do? How do you respond to the gift that you have received by grace? Peter tells us in verse 10, he says, as good stewards. As good stewards. The word steward, it actually, believe it or not, it is surprising to me. It means a manager. And I think, well, that seems like a promotion. I've gone to errand boy, you know, now I'm a manager. I've been promoted. Don't let it go to your head. Peter is simply telling us that we are to be good managers of what God has given for us to do in the way of gifts. We are to be a good steward. We are to be a good manager, a gift of grace that God has given to you. Be a manager of that. What has God given you, and how do you manage that? I think this is where we all fall down. It sounds so simple, but it's where we most often fail. Most people in the church, they invest very little time in the lives of others, because when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about what you're doing for the church as an organization. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Very simple illustration. My arm. A mosquito lands on my arm. Now suppose that my right hand said, I don't want anything to do with my left arm. And so that mosquito is sitting there and it is bothering me. It is itching. It's driving me crazy. And the only thing I need to do is slap it and get rid of it. But I have this right hand that doesn't want to cooperate. That is how it is in the body of Christ. You see, we can say, well, I don't want anything to do with that or that person or that or that. And so we fail and we fall in this area. We don't think of the ministry, we do not think of the gift as a management responsibility that God has instructed us and said, be a good steward of that gift. Now, I will just say this, if you feel as though you've squandered many of your opportunities, and most of us have, you're probably right. We are guilty of squandering. Charles Spurgeon, revered as one of the great ministers in the history of the church, and he said, I tremble as I think how poverty-stricken my life has been compared with my opportunities. I tremble when I think of how poverty-stricken my life is, when I think of all the opportunities. Think of all the opportunities that you have in life. And we squander it. We pass it by. Stewards. Now, no one can say I haven't used my gift because I've had no opportunity. We can't use excuses because we all have opportunity in the body of Christ to use our gifts. And this is where each of us must begin in the ministry. You can find it in Romans chapter 12. We were there earlier, just prior to Paul's description of the various gifts. He says, I beseech you, therefore. In other words, this is the word beg. Paul is so concerned about this issue that he would literally beg. And he would say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, our role here is that we just sacrifice ourselves unto the Lord. And we say, God, my body, my gifts, my talent, every part of me is yours. You use me as you would. And it's reasonable. Think about what he's done for us. It's just reasonable that we respond and we give back to him. And this is how it happens. And I started off talking about Ralph Lauren. I don't know Ralph. I know he has a big ranch in Colorado. I know I've worn some of his clothes. I like them. And I'd probably like Ralph. I don't know if Ralph is a believer. But I'll tell you about anyone with worldly success. Anyone. If that is all you have, then you have completely squandered eternity. You have completely wasted your earthly life because you worked for what would benefit you or maybe benefit others in an earthly sense, but you have not sacrificed yourself unto the Lord your God who gave Jesus to die for you. And if you've turned your back on Jesus, you've turned your back on the very most important person who has ever walked this earth, the living Son of God who died on the cross and gave his life. so that you could have eternal life. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul, and the soul is gone, the soul is squandered, the life is squandered, and you have nothing, you are eternally bankrupt? You may have billions here on earth, but I'm telling you, there are no U-Hauls. There are no U-Hauls going to hell. And there are no U-Hauls going to heaven. You only have what you send ahead. And that is your service. When you began in the ministry and as a steward, the Bible says, great is your reward. For what does the Word of God teach us when we come into the kingdom? What are those words we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful errand boy. Well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Eternity. Enjoying the blessings. Maybe you didn't have the billions, the millions, the hundreds of thousands, or maybe even the thousands. But you are faithful within the ministry, the gifts that God has given to you. And when you go into the kingdom of God, you will be greeted by a heavenly host. And you will hear those words, well done, you good and faithful errand boy. And so, Father, we thank you for your word to us today. It's an encouragement. It gives us great hope and a reason to live and a reason to honor you in our life and a reason to surrender our lives to you and submit our gifts to you and to ask to be used by you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just open our ears to this vitally important message. We may understand. And we're so thankful, Lord. I just want all of us to agree together and say thank you for the grace. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the charisma. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. None of us can boast. And thank you for the grace of the ministry. As Paul said, because of that grace wherein we've been called, we do not even become discouraged. Thank you for the grace. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you in his love. And my prayer just for this message, very simply, is that maybe as you walk out of this building, you know, and we've said welcome to the ministry, that you may think just a little bit differently about the gifts that God has given to you and what it means to be a good steward. And that you sacrifice, that you make your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We've got young people here. We've got teenagers and even younger, and you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. What are you going to do with that life? What's going to become most important to you? And what about your gifts? What about what God has given to you? What about those of us who are we're older? Oh, they're just still the gifts that God has given, and still work and still errands to be run for our Lord. You see, we're not running errands for ourselves. We're not even running errands. Really, the errands come down to what it's the Lord. It's his gift he's given to you, and he's going to give you these things to do with them. Those are the errands. What are you going to do? And so may the Lord bless you as you ponder these words, and as you surrender your life, maybe even new to him, maybe this is a revival moment. Maybe this is a moment where you really, something has grabbed you and said, you know, I want to resurrender. I want to recommit my life. I want to give it back to him again and allow him to use me. Maybe you feel like you've been on the shelf for a while, and maybe it is, because I'll tell you, we can rob God. We take our time and we do with it what we want to do with it. We take our talents and we do with it what we want to do with them. And we're taken away from God. And I'll tell you, he can put us right on the shelf. You say, I want to recommit. I don't want to be on the shelf. I want to hear those words when I get up into glory and I walk through and I see Jesus. I want him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What better could we ask for? And so may you leave this place with those thoughts and ponder that and think that through. Meditate on it. In Jesus' name, amen.